Good evening, church. It's good to have you all with us tonight. As shared last week, we started a series that'll take us up to the revival, and I boast in the cross based out of Galatians chapter 6. Last week, we talked about living in the cross and how we need to do that, and tonight we're going to discuss the power of the cross. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 is our jump-in text for this series. But it says, "But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." And so this evening we're going to talk about the power of the cross, and there are many things that we can talk about today, and we understand a little bit when it talks about power. We think of Niagara Falls and watching the water run over the edge there and the great power that comes from that water and then moves generators and lights up much of the northeastern United States. And so as we see that, we think of that great power. I thought in preparation for this week of a time at youth camp, where all of a sudden the power went out in the campground. And George was then just talking about this story this morning, and I said, I'm actually going to talk about that tonight. And so George had got up and mentioned to the kids after we figured out what had happened. George got up and explained to the kids how dangerous it was to turn off power stations there at the camp and electrical boxes and different things. And we didn't know for sure who had did it beforehand, but as George was getting up there and telling them how they could just be zapped and evaporate into nothing, there was two little boys sitting in the front row that looked at each other. And he warned them, you know, you better not do it. And so we found out who did it right away. So there's many things in our life that we talk about power. We got water power, electricity power, but there's nothing greater in this world more than the power of the cross. An out-of-towner accidentally drives his car into a deep ditch on the side of a country road. Luckily, a farmer happened by with his big old horse named Benny. The man asked for help, and the farmer said that Benny could pull his car out with no problem. So he backed Benny up, hitched up Benny to the man's bumper of his car, and then yelled, "Pull, Nelly, pull!" Benny didn't move. Then the farmer hollered, "Come on, Ranger, go, go!" Still, Benny didn't move. Then he hollered out really loud, "Now pull, Fred, pull hard, Fred, pull!" But Benny just stood there. Then the farmer nonchalantly said, "Okay, Benny, pull!" Benny pulled the car right out of the ditch. The man was very appreciative, but he was curious. He asked the farmer why he called his horse by the wrong name three times. And the farmer said, "Oh, Benny, my horse, he's blind. And if he thought that he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't have even tried." And I couldn't help but think that isn't that the way we are in sort of a way, but even greater, that we were stuck in sin and we couldn't get out on our own. So Jesus did it for us. And that's what the power of the cross is all about. And we're going to look at several things tonight about the power of the cross. And the first one is, the power of the cross cancels debt. It cancels a debt. We've heard the song that, or the phrase that says, "He paid the debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt that I could not pay." Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 says, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and of the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. It is the wonderful event that takes place of the cross. And I know that so many times it seems like it gets painted and there's no doubt, and I don't want to downplay the harshness, the grotesqueness, the hurting, everything that took place on the cross, because that was also done for a reason as well. But at the same time that it was everything as bad as we can imagine, all the sin of the world being there, the good thing is that Jesus did that for us. He canceled out that debt. And this is kind of referencing a financial term in its thought process of balancing out the checkbook. And I know these kids over here are like, what? Checkbook? What? What? We've got this card you just slide, right? And it just, there's endless money on that card, right? No, but there's a balance that has to take place. A balancing of sin versus payment. The sin is always and is going to cost us more than we think it's going to. When Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord in the garden, what do you think? Try to get in their mind. What do you think they thought was going to happen? I guarantee what ended up happening was far worse than what they thought was going to happen, because they lost their home. They lost their relationship that they had with the Lord. Death had to be instituted because of a sin. And look at, you know, and we stop and think, well, my life's not too bad. I haven't done too many terrible things. All they did was eat a piece of fruit that they weren't supposed to. So now, talk about cheating. Talk about stealing, talk about lying, talk about all they did was grabbed a piece of fruit that they weren't supposed to eat. But yet, it cost them way more than they anticipated. Sin costs us more than we anticipate. But the power of the cross cancels that debt. Verse 14 there in our text that we just read says, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees. There's nothing greater, whether it's your home mortgage, whether it's a title on your car, whether it's a credit card balance you've been working on to get it. Isn't it great when you look down there and see zero balance? But you know what effort it took. You knew what time it took. You knew how long you've been working to get it that way. And yet our sin says that tipped the scales in a way that we could not even fathom. And yet then Jesus Christ wipes away that debt of sin that cost us way more than we could ever imagine. He has that wiped away, having nailed it to the cross. The power of the cross cancels debt. The power of the cross contains Christ's suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 20 through 25 says this, "For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience?" Oh boy, you know, I did this. I did this and maybe somebody got mad at me. And they're not talking to me right now, whatever it may be. And we're like, oh, but I'm gonna bear through it. I'm gonna hang. What it says is, when you sin, when you do wrong, and you get treated harshly for it, and you brag about bearing it with patience, you're going about it all wrong. You don't understand what's being talked about. But if when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Goes on to quote from the Old Testament, "Who committed no sin, nor was there any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Pay attention to that. So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. And for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. For by his wounds we have been healed. Because of the pain, the suffering, the death that he went through on the cross, we have the opportunity to live forever, to feel no pain, to be able to be with him for all time in the glory and the splendor of heaven. The power of the cross contains Christ's suffering. The power of the cross contacts the alien sinner. I really appreciated Josh's opening this morning and making us think of that that passage of Scripture, and just reminding us that as we go into the world this week, everyone that we come in contact with that has not already been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ is a possibility to become a Christian and a future child of God. That's really a good and wonderful thing that we need to stay focused on, to consider that the power of the cross contacts the alien sinner. And if we doubt that, church, where did you come from? Where did we come from? Contrary to popular belief, we may say, oh, they're a saint. They are now, but at one time they weren't. We were all outside of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 13 through 16 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. First of all, there was a time, and George made mention of this the last couple Sunday school classes, there was a time where you're in Christ and a time where you were out of Christ. At what juncture does that change? That's in our baptism. We can see that in Galatians, and we see that in Romans, that it says that we are baptized into him. And it says here that we are brought near by the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross at Calvary. And this is one of the things that is really been on my mind ever since Jason Cole was here with us, that when we look at that and we think of the blood of Jesus Christ, and yes, we are given times and opportunities to remember those things, to share in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But be not confused, this is not, in the baptistry, is not the blood of Jesus. Here at the Lord's Supper, that is not the blood of Jesus. These are representations of the blood of Jesus. And so where was the blood of Jesus shed? Where was it taking place? Where did he die? On the cross at Calvary. And so every one of those things, and I'm not trying to belittle those things by any means. Don't think that I'm saying we don't need to be baptized, that that's not important, that communion's not. I'm just expressing to us that there are religious groups that believe this is the actual body and the actual blood of Jesus Christ. When we're told this is a representation, do this in remembrance of me. Do this so that you remember him. We did that to share in his death. Did that mean that we actually had a spear shoved in our side? Does that mean that we actually had our hands nailed to the cross? Does that mean that we actually had a crown of thorns placed on our head? Does that mean that we actually had our back whipped and scourged? No. But Jesus Christ did that for us and took that to the cross and died upon that cross for us. He did that for the alien sinner. We are brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. There is the physical man, and there is the spiritual man, and they war against each other. But because of Jesus Christ, we can have an ultimate peace of knowing that in the physical body, we have done everything that he has asked for us to do, spiritually speaking. And to bring those, and having put to death the enmity or the separation that sin brings to us. So the power, there's power in the cross, and it contacts the alien sinner. The power of the cross is what Christ is really all about. The power of the cross is what Christ is all about. Could Jesus have had other people do miracles? Other people had done miracles. So was it about him just coming to this earth to do miracles? No. What was it all about? It was about him going to the cross. That's what it was all about. Colossians 1, 19 and 20 says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him." That's telling us that Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man. That he was every bit of God, as much God as God in heaven is, as the Father is. "And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." Once again, it's the blood that took place shed on the cross. I don't know, I'm making a conjecture here to some degree, but I am making an assumption that Jesus, having worked perhaps in a carpentry shop with his father from some time, probably got a splinter or may have cut his finger on something. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe that was part of his perfect life that he never made that. I don't know. But it said that he was also just as human as we are. And so my point is, do you think he shed blood before he went to the cross? Yeah. So was that the saving blood? No, because it wasn't his life blood. It wasn't the blood that was sacrificed his whole life for us, but that's what it was all about for him. Everything that he did was to get him to the point of dying on the cross, of giving his life up on the cross at Calvary. Satan tried to tempt him. As we find out later in scriptures, he was tempted in all points as we, and yet without sin. Now, I've had people, and this is where I believe he's 100% man, he's 100% God, but I've heard people say, and maybe you have too, that, well, he couldn't have sinned even if he wanted to, because God had a protection around him, that the Father had a protection around him. I know he was tempted in all points as we, but yet without sin. You know what? I wouldn't have to sin either, but I choose to. We choose to. We do what we want rather than what he wants, and his whole will was to come and do the will of the Father. The power of the cross is what Christ is all about. Why is that? Because the power of the cross exposes sin. The power of the cross exposes sin. Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now telling you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." This goes right along with what George was talking about in Sunday school today, that there are those that we may talk about, that we know, that maybe we were involved in them coming to Christ, that we were involved of them having their sins washed away. We all seen it happen. And for some reason or another, they have decided to walk away from him. Paul says here, "For many walk, of whom I've often told you." There's some, remember he makes reference of Demas. Demas, who was once with us, was once a fellow worker, has now left for the love of this present world. And Paul says, "And I now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross. Once, one-time people who believed in the salvation that come through the death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who gave their life to Him, who were fully obedient to Him, but in some form or fashion has now walked away. That's just a reminder to us that each and every one of us have a choice, and that is a choice that we need to continually bring to the forefront each and every day, that today I'm going to live for Jesus. The day that we don't rise up and say that is the day that we will falter. And even when we do say we were going to live for Him, we'll still falter. But the power of the cross exposes sin. I don't know, I heard something in the past week or two that somewhere on different things, and they said, well, as long as it's not a logo of a cross, you'd be okay. And they were kind of saying that in jest, it seems anymore if you want to have the moon and the crescent moon and the star, you'd be okay, you'd be accepted. If you want to have the Star of David, you'd be accepted. But as long as you don't offend anybody with the cross. But didn't Jesus say that years ago, that the cross would be an offense? That what He did would be a rock of stumbling? It exposes sin. As I've said before, a well-known, famous preacher once said, the worst thing that the church ever did was tell people that they have sinned. What else brings you to the realization of when you need Jesus in your life? But it's through our sin that separates us. The power of the cross exposes sin. Not only that, as we move on, the power of the cross is available. It's available to all. It's available to you. It's available to anyone who needs it. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." We talked about this in chapel on Friday. What is the gospel? It's the message. It's the good news. It's the message of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then also the Greek. Where does it start with? Where does the power of God for salvation start with? The gospel? It starts with a belief in who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ did, and it is made available to who? I've heard preachers say, well, when we moved into this demographic or this, when we moved into this area, we were looking for a different demographic than what these other churches had in the area. We were looking, in other words, for a different group of people. And I would have liked to have thought that he meant we're looking for sinners who need to be saved, but he wasn't. He was looking at different size of pocketbooks that people had. The cross is made available to all, the rich, the poor. Dylan touched on that yesterday in his message. All the different that it's open to. Doesn't matter what color we are. Doesn't matter what sex we are. It's open for all. For us to be obedient to. And it starts with our belief in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross at Calvary. But then the last two things I want to talk about are things that maybe we don't necessarily think of when it comes to the cross. And the power of the cross shows Christ's preeminence. The power of the cross shows Christ's preeminence. Colossians 1, 17 and 18 says, "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything." Well, the word cross isn't even mentioned in that verse. But how about that phrase, the firstborn from the dead, where Jesus Christ had conquered the grave, where He resurrected from the dead. And in doing so, He did not just bring Himself back to life. He made life eternal available for all mankind. Not just a physical life, but a spiritual one. The power of the cross shows Christ's preeminence. We talked about the power of horses at the beginning of the lesson. We talked about the power of electricity and the power of water. Here's another little illustration. There was a missions class was being taught by a man by the name of Herbert Jackson, told how as a missionary he was assigned a car that would not start without a push. Now he was in a foreign country, and he gets to this place and he gets this car and a manual transmission, and it wouldn't start unless it was given a push. They'd pop the clutch, make it. So after pondering his problem, he devised a plan. When he went to school near his home, he got permission to take some kids out of the class each day and had permission for them to push his car off. And as he made his rounds, he would either park on a hill or he'd just leave the engine running. But once he got that car started each day, he would just allow the power to keep working. And he used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. Every day, he'd go up to the school when he'd get ready to leave, have some kids come out, push the car so he could get the car started. Ill health finally forced Herbert Jackson and his family to leave this area of their mission work. So a new missionary came to the station, and when Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for getting his car to start and how he would spend his days as he was turning the car over to the new man, the new missionary began to look under the hood. Before the explanation was even complete, and he told him how when you go here, you need to leave it running. When you go here, you need to park on a hill. Before the explanation was even complete, the new missionary interrupted, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." Took out a screwdriver, tightened down the cable. He gave the cable that twist, stepped into the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For two years, needless trouble had become routine. It had become, well, this is the way we've got to do it. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. We understand that we've got a power made available to us through Jesus Christ, and it's been there all the time. And many times the reason it's not at our disposal is because we haven't given Christ the preeminence that he deserves. We don't have to get out and jumpstart the car. It had the power all the time. We've got everything that we need in our life given to us through the great Jesus Christ. Everything that we could need, he says that he will supply. The power of the cross shows his preeminence. And the last thing that we want to look at this evening is the power of the cross was Christ's joy. Was Christ's joy. Hebrews 12:2 says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus. You're just going to say this, church. If you're going to focus on anything, if you're going to look at anything, if you're going to take your fix and really focus on something, then fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross. Now, I hope you're probably thinking the same thing. That would be crazy. That would be nuts. Who would, for the joy set before him, went to the cross? How many would consider it joy to be nailed to a cross? How many would consider it joy to be whipped and scourged and have the crown of thorns placed on your head? For the joy set before him endured the cross. He didn't do it for the pain. He did it for the people. He did it for you. And he did it for me. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He has now taken his rightful place at the right hand of the throne of God the Father in heaven, so that we too one day can sit there around the feet of Jesus and praise him. And as we see in the book of Revelation, all those that cast their crowns at his feet. One more lesson on power, or a little story here. Do we consider it a joy? We all, most of us to some degree, maybe like parades. Depends if you're in them or if you're watching them, I guess. But one day on New Year's Day, as the Tournament of Roses parade was taking place, there was a beautiful float that suddenly sputtered and quit. in all the process of getting it to where it needed to be and running it up and down for practice runs and everything, they had used up all the gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. Being now that that's held in California, it's probably all electric vehicles. But anyway, that's besides the point. But the amusing thing was that this float was represented by the Standard Oil Company. With all of its vast oil resources, its truck, its representation before the world that day came to a halt because it forgot where its power was in that fuel. Often Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance, and though they are clothed with the power of Jesus Christ that we talked about in Romans 6 and Galatians 3, we have ourselves to be clothed in that power from Jesus Christ. We find ourselves out of gas. Is it because the supplier was no longer able to fulfill his commitments? No. It is because we as the individuals failed to refuel ourselves. That's what meeting around the Lord's table does for us. That's what coming together, that's what reading and the Bible and praying does these things. Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance, and though they are clothed with the power, find themselves out of gas. So as we close this evening, we'll say, power your life with the joy of Christ. He found his joy in the cross. If we're going to boast in anything, boast in the cross and come to the realization of the power that we have at our disposal that comes to us through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ, let today be your day of salvation. Maybe you've heard this 100 times before, but be obedient to it now before it's too late. John 8:24 says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Luke 13:3 says that I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We need to confess, Matthew 10:32, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven, to be immersed into Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned and be faithful until the end. This is where we don't run out of the power of the cross. It's ever there for us. It's ever present. He has got to have the preeminence. He's done it for his joy so that we could be with him one day. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, we beg and urge you, pleading with you tonight, to be obedient to him before it's too late. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, you're doing your best to be faithful, then I encourage you as we go on to continue to live within the power of the cross. Will you stand with us as he leads us?